Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 130. Today I have my good friend David Williams back on the program with me. David, thanks for joining.
Always a pleasure to be here.
We want to discuss some things that I believe are very relevant to what is happening in the world and where are we as far as our ability to discern what is happening right now. So where are we in the world? What's going on in the world that day? And are we aware of what's happening? Are we still just eating and drinking and making merry and life is good? Or is the door of the ark about to be shut? And is it about to rain? Where are we right now in God's time clock is the real question that we want to discuss tonight. And where are you in God's time clock? Those that are listening right now, are you where God wants you to be? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you discerning what is happening right now? Do you hear his voice? Are you responding to his voice? Is God quiet on the front right now? Is it a calm before the storm? Are you prepared in your heart, which may be coming soon? So we're going to discuss some things on this program and use a little bit of history to maybe help us understand a little bit of what the future looks like, if we can use the history. If, you know, a good history student usually is better prepared for the future than someone who's never learned from history. So we're going to discuss some things on this program. And David, I think a good place to start would be maybe in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus was trying to tell the disciples and anyone who had ears to hear that they were missing the signs that were all around them. And he was trying to tell them why they were missing the signs, that there was something that was blinding them, not giving them the ability to see. And I think this would be a good place to start.
Yeah, we're all probably pretty familiar with that passage, but let me read it quickly. In verse 1, it says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O you of little faith, why reason you among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees."
So this is really where this is all going right now. He's trying to help them see that the doctrines that have been imparted into them from the Pharisees and the Sadducees has caused them to have a lack of understanding of what's happening around them. And I really believe that this lesson that he's trying to teach his disciples is something that we need to take heed right now, because there's a lot of leaven that all of us have taken in, doctrines, things that sound good, but maybe they're not necessarily the truth. And many of us, we feel like what we have is truth. And this is what pride is really all about, is that we already know the truth. So it's like I've already built this puzzle, has a pretty nice picture. I really don't want to tear my puzzle up and start over. And I believe that, you know, as I began to read the Bible more and more and read Jesus' own words more and more, I started realizing that a lot of things that I had been taught in church were not the truth. It's not what Jesus said. It sounds good, and it sure would tickle an ear that was looking for a pleasing word, but it's not necessarily the truth. And I want to read a word that I received back on July 24th, 2015, this is on today's Rhema on Strength for the Journey. But I think this is very applicable in what is happening and what we're discussing right now. And this it began this way. A man can tell another man the truth, but God must reveal it. Many have handled the word of God deceitfully for gain, because they love not the truth. These deceivers are clouds without rain, making empty promises that will never be kept. They tickle the ears of the simple-minded, too lazy to dig for the truth themselves, because those hearers are merely looking for a free meal. The welfare state of America began with a spiritual welfare state. When America began to become a people that would rather have someone else spiritually feed them, the welfare state began. Now, 50 years later, the trough eaters have been fattened for the slaughter, and the slaughter is about to begin. Are you a welfare state recipient? Do you go to church to be fed? Are you the church that feeds? If you merely go to church to be fed, you are a welfare state recipient. If you aren't already full when you go to church, you'll likely eat whatever's on the menu. If you aren't already so in love with the truth, a lie can be mingled with the truth, and the result is always and will always be deception. The narrow road will be broadened, and before you know it, you're on the path to destruction. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You won't realize your life is filled with leaven until the time of testing arrives, and by that time, pride can be so set in that you won't repent. Go to the Gospels and compare the Good Shepherd's voice with your shepherd's voice. Do they sound the same, or do they sound different? Is your shepherd's voice as challenging as mine? If you find, I'm not your shepherd, trust me that you may be like me. I will lead you to green pasture. I will lead you from brown grass to green grass. I will feed you during the time of famine. The time of famine has already begun. Are you not yet hungry? If you don't hunger for the truth, a lie will satisfy. Only those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. I can only feed the hungry. The full will never come to my table. You must be poor in spirit to recognize your need. Examine your life today to see if you're really mine, to see if you're really filled with faith and trust. You will need to be so filled with trust for the days that lie ahead and are soon to arrive. Now is the time to check your oil in your lamp, because darkness is about to arrive. Only my truth will light your path and give you the ability to see in the dark. Are you ready? Are you really ready? The darkness will arrive whether you're ready or not. You know, this is a state of time when you don't know your flashlight's out of batteries until you go grab the flashlight and you need it. And you grab and you turn the flashlight on and you go, oh no, the flashlight's dead. I forgot to charge it, or I forgot to put new batteries in. But now it's too late to see in the dark because you didn't know your flashlight batteries are dead. And I'm concerned that many people that think they already have the truth inside of them, that when reality comes and the truth is manifested, the real truth, that it's going to be too late. They're going to go into a state of panic and say, oh no, I can't see. It's dark. I'm stumbling right now.
Well, we're currently living in a season where there's so much political turmoil and so much unrest globally, and we see, you know, on social media and in the news, we see the division that's particularly present in the United States right now as there's political wranglings and people are supporting their candidates of choice and trying to tear down the opposition. And you know, this topic of knowing the season that we're in, I think, is critical because it seems like we're devoting a lot of time and attention and effort and energy to matters that are meaningless. And I know in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it addresses some of this. It says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, and that day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, Paul also admonished us to keep our sights set on things above and not things below. And, you know, I'm concerned right now that I see so many friends and brothers and sisters that are getting caught up in political debate when they need to be focused on what is the Lord saying in this hour.
This is such a critical time. You know, a lot of people feel like America's at a crossroads, you know, in many ways. But I'm just wondering, has the crossroad already occurred? You know, we feel like, well, if we just get the right guy in office right now, that America is going to be restored and we're going to get back to the glory days of America. But has the point of return, no return, already occurred? Has the crossroad already happened? Did we already cross the line, in other words? And I believe that America has already crossed the line, that the opportunity for the church to repent was a while back, that the fork in the road became apparent to the church, but yet the church didn't want to repent. It enjoyed the good life that it had, just what you described. It had set its sight on the things below instead of the things above, that it fell in love with the world and the prosperity that it afforded them. And now the church just looks like the world. There's really no difference in the way that the church lives their life. There's no difference in the divorce rate. I mean, where's the light supposed to come from right now? And the times are going to get dark very soon, and there is no light. So how are they going to find their way? You know, there's a time when the foolish virgins didn't know that they were out of oil until the time came to check their batteries in their lamp, so to speak, the batteries in their flashlight. You know, it got dark, and they needed to find their way. It was almost midnight. And this is what I'm concerned about, is that everybody thinks they got a full charge on their batteries. You know, they claim to be Christians. The pastors told them they're going to heaven. You know, we're all wise virgins, you know, ready for the marriage. And those foolish virgins didn't know their condition until they had to knock on the door, because the door was shut. You know, I just wonder what the day was like when the Ark of Noah was shut, and they had to be in there several days before it started raining. I'm sure they were mocked and jeered. And how's it smell in there, Noah? You know, what's it smell like in there? You know, a lot of people, you know, for instance, we moved away from America. The Lord told me back over four years ago, he said, your nest is in the wrong forest. I had done all I could to prepare where I was. But then he gave me a very clear word that my preparation would never be enough. He told me that for a number of years, but I didn't want to believe him. I said, well, maybe I'm missing something on my prep list. You know, I was a good Boy Scout. Obviously, I can get ready for this time. And the Lord began to reveal to me that this is not just another camp out that I'm going on, that I'm preparing for, that this is a judgment that God's bringing upon the earth and upon various places in the earth that would not heed his word. And so when God's judgment comes, it comes in a way that's never happened before. There was never fireballs that ever came from heaven in Lot's day. Before Noah built the ark, there was never rain. So this was something that was going to happen. This something happened that never had occurred before. And I believe that if this is God's judgment that's coming upon the earth and upon various areas of the earth, that it's going to come in a way that can't be prepared. You can't put your sprinkler system in your home in Sodom and think you're going to be good, you know, because you knew fire was coming. You know, you couldn't put your house on stilts in Noah's day and think all is good because I got my house built on stilts. You know, Noah's building an ark, but this ought to be good enough. You know, obedience is the only way of protection during a time of judgment, and repentance is the only way that will initiate your obedience, because then you'll tenderize your heart to hear from God because you're in a right position. Now you become that person under the shadow of the Almighty because your heart's right. We were talking before the program, and I was thinking about a mama hen that I had a while back here, a few years ago, and I lived in Montana at the time, and so it was a cold morning, and these baby chicks had just hatched out. It was probably in late fall, and I looked in this little chicken coop, And there's his mom with the wings kind of outstretched, and there's probably eight baby chicks with their little heads popped out, you know, looking at me as mom was looking at me. And these little babies just knew they were so well protected because they were in the right place. They were underneath mama's wings. Now, that little baby chick, one of them could have run out from underneath mama's wings and probably froze to death. But they knew the right place to be was right underneath the shadow of their mommy. And I think in that perspective, that this is where we need to be right now. We need to know that we're under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty right now, that we've been obedient and we're in the right place, because this is no time to be in the wrong place. This is a time to be positioned properly in our heart and in our physical location.
Well, and you're right that nothing in the physical is going to fend off the judgment of God. It's a right standing with Him. And we've spoken on previous programs about how there have been times in history. We've spoken about in Jeremiah that there are three separate times where the Lord tells Jeremiah, "Do not pray for these people." In other words, it's already a sealed deal. It's a done deal, and what's coming is coming. And also in the book of Jeremiah, it's interesting that you bring up that the little baby chicks. It's interesting that brute beasts sometimes are able to acknowledge the times and the seasons. Those little chicks knew not to wander out from underneath the shelter that was provided by their mama's wings. In Jeremiah chapter 8, in verse 6, it says, "I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, 'What have I done?' Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord." And, you know, I think that that's what is the most concerning as we see friends, again, whether it's on social media or watching the news and what's taking in the place in the United States, that people seem to be oblivious as they scurry around and try to fix a problem with a political cure when the problem is a spiritual one.
You know, it's interesting that a lot of the voices that are coming from the candidates right now is, stronger together, make America great again. But there really is no solution. There's no how are we going to make America great again? What's wrong with America in the first place? What's happened to America? What is the actual disease that we have? I have the cure for. I have the answers. I don't think the disease has been identified yet. I don't think really. I haven't heard anything what the real true problem is. We see a lot of symptoms, but unless you treat the cause, you're really not going to bring a cure. You can't bring a cure by treating the symptom. You know, if it's the border problem, or if it's the economy, all these things are just symptoms of a bigger problem. And it's really a sin problem. It's a turning your back on the Lord problem. This is where the real problem is. And until that is addressed, the cure will never be found. This is really where we're at right now, is that we have to identify the problem and treat the problem. And there's only one formula that has ever been given that treats a sin problem of a nation. And that's in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people will humble themselves, sit, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land." Until that formula has been completed, there is no cure for the nation. There's no cure for the economy. All these symptoms that we're all seeing problems with will never be cured until the church repents. But what I'm concerned about most is that the church has been taught. They have leaven. There's leaven that's been infiltrated into the church of false doctrines, that they've already hit the finish line when the gun went off, and that they have no need of repenting because there's nothing wrong with them, because we're all good with God. You know, I said the sinner's prayer and I'm good with God till he takes me home. So they never examine themselves and find out the leaven that's inside of them. Jesus said very clearly, "Beware of the leaven of the scribes, of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because it's infiltrated you." You know, you don't know if you're a loaf of bread, unleavened bread, and this thing, you know, once it goes into the oven, there's no unleavening this thing. And I believe that we're going into a time right now where the bread has leaven in it, and it's about to go into the oven. It's about to get baked. And there's no unleavening this point once it goes into the oven. And another thing I'm concerned about is that we don't know what's inside of our heart until the time of testing comes. Once the time of testing comes, you know what? Jesus warned Peter, hey, Peter, you're going to deny me three times, you know, for the night's over. You're going to deny me. What are you talking about? I'm ready to die with you. You know, he should have realized this guy knows everything. Lord, forgive me, help me, strengthen me. If you're saying this is going to happen, I don't want it to happen. You know, help me. But no, the pride of Peter at this point in time in his life went into denial. What are you talking about? I'm good, man. I'm strong. I'm ready to go. Well, is this us right now? Are we in Peter's position right now, the night before we're being tested? I mean, right now, Russia's planning on war with America. We don't know what that's going to look like. We don't know if it's going to come to the shores of America. We don't know exactly how this little whole thing's going to play out. I mean, the oven is about ready. The bread's about to go into the oven and find out what's it made of right now. And the thing is that God's trying to say, would you examine your heart in this late hour and check and see if there's leaven in you and that you need to repent of?
Well, and the concern is, you know, 8 years ago and 4 years ago, the winning candidate for president of the United States was pledging hope and change. And we've certainly seen a lot of change. But whenever there's an election year, there's always lots of hope offered. And we see that right now on both sides, that votes are trying to be won by offering people hope. And the problem with that is that it's a false hope. And so we right now, there are so many who have this expectation, and it's almost like they're pregnant with expectation. We're going to give birth to this great, beautiful new future. But in Isaiah chapter 26, it says this in verse 18. It says, "We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen." In other words, we thought we had the solution, and we're going to bring forth something wonderful. And in the end, they're in labor and they bring forth nothing. There is no baby. And it goes on in verse 20, and God says, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." So, you know, again, this is the reason we're talking about knowing the times and the seasons. There's a time to fight and there's a time for flight. And it just seems to many of us, I would say I'm in that number. And many of us who have moved here to Panama would agree with this, that it's perhaps a time that we're past a solution in the United States of America. Again, the only solution is if God's people that are called by his name would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then he would heal us, but then he would hear from heaven. But I've not seen any evidence of that.
You know, back in 2008, the Lord gave me a word about the election that was about ready to happen. And at one point, it looked like the numbers were in favor of the other candidate that didn't win. And I heard the words that came to me was the election is an illusion of hope. That it was just an illusion, like a mirage in a desert, that you think there's water on the distance and you're running toward this mirage only to have it disappear in front of your eyes as you got closer. And I'm afraid that without repentance, that any solution by man right now is just a mirage. It's just an illusion in the distance. And the closer that we get to that mirage, it's going to disappear in front of us. I mean, can you imagine right now if everybody's hope right now, instead of repenting before the Lord of their own sins and examining their own heart, that here they are looking at this election like this election is going to be their salvation. salvation of their nation, their families, their future, their economic situation. And as we get closer to it, it turns out to me just nothing but a mirage in the distance, that somehow America goes to war, and Barack Obama uses just what Franklin Delano Roosevelt did back during World War II, that because of the state of the nation and the instability, that I feel it is my duty to stay in power. And this is what, if you go back and listen to the speeches, which I've done, and listen to the excuse that Roosevelt did to stay in power during World War II, why couldn't it be used again? We don't know. But as long as America still looks for a solution, a political solution, a human solution, there will be no solution. It will be just an illusion of hope. And that's why I am just, we're just trying to sound the alarm from this place, that if your heart has not turned back to the Lord, and that you have gone into a place of repentance, that you, if you just are just repenting just for being slumbers on your call, on your watch, the prophets have spoken, but nobody listened. Nobody wanted to hear the words that the prophets have been speaking from the rooftops to repent and turn back to the Lord. Will it be too late? Maybe at that point in time, when the bombs begin to fly, or your electricity's turned off and it ain't coming back on again, will that be the point that you repent? Well, that may be the point that a man repents as he's being dragged off to jail and the gavel has already been slammed by the judge. We need to repent before the gavel gets slammed. And that point is like right now, is repent now.
That's right. Salvation is found in no other name than Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that goes for a man, and that goes for a nation.
It goes for a nation as well. Well, thank you for joining us, David, on the program. Thanks for joining us, audience, for Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.